In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins, and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. And Lord, as we come to pray once again, listening to you, speaking with you, we do our prayer today about peace. And you are the one who brings peace. And as we begin our prayer and we look around our world today, we see so many lacks of peace. We see it in wars in different countries, with all the devastation that every war produces. In some sense, in war, there are no winners. We see a lack of peace within countries, warring factions and political parties, social groups, lack of security in countries with terrorism, with killings. We see a lack of peace in workplaces sometimes, people at loggerheads with one another, workers against workers, workers against bosses and bosses against workers, even in families where there should be peace and we don't see peace. People who can't talk with one another, people who are constantly arguing. We look at ourselves and often we don't have peace in our heart. And that is why we pray about this most important topic, that we can find peace first within ourselves, and then we can spread peace in our world, to be sowers of peace and joy, as Saint Jose Maria used to put it. And we can begin by opening the prophecy of Isaiah to the 9th chapter. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That one who was to come, that child born in Bethlehem, Prince of Peace. But let us go on with Isaiah. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Of his reign, there will be no end of peace. And Lord, we beg you, grant peace through Christ. And how will we achieve that? This passage has just mentioned it. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. With justice, where there is justice and rights are respected and duties are fulfilled, there can be peace. And righteousness is holiness, love for God, when God prevails in human hearts, in societies, in the policies of governments. Holiness, love for God, respect for his law, the natural law, with respect for the rights of persons, then there can be peace. And what a blessing peace is. If we see hostility in our world as we do, at the same time we know how welcome peace is. When there can be harmony between persons, when there can be security within societies, when people can live in safety, they can make plans. They know there will at least be peace to fulfill those plans. People can get on with their lives, with their families, with their work. What a blessing peace is. And when there is no peace, when there is insecurity, uncertainty, hostility, what a difficult life that is. And so we pray, Lord, help us to find peace and to find it in you. And we can go back to Bethlehem and your birth. You have been born in that stable. You have been wrapped in swaddling cloths. And the angel now appears to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The Son of God has been born, the Prince of Peace has been born, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Men of goodwill, he is pleased because they do his will, because they love one another. Lord, you are the one who brings peace, and you promise it to the apostles in the Last Supper. We open the Gospel of St. John to the 14th chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Trust in me, you are saying. Find me, you will find peace, and a peace such as the world cannot give. We find that peace in you, in God, in your almighty power, in your mercy, in your love for the world. When you reign in our hearts, then we are a peaceful person and we can be those sores of peace and joy in the world. And a little bit later, Lord, after your resurrection, you appear in the upper room to the apostles. And again, we take up the passage in the Gospel of St. John, this time in the 20th chapter. Late at night, you appear to the apostles gathered together in the upper room. On the very day of your resurrection, you have already appeared to Peter, you have appeared to the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, and you say to the apostles, peace be with you. That great exhortation, peace be with you. You are troubled. I died on the cross. You haven't seen me yet. Now you see me. Have peace in your hearts. I am with you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. And now, Lord, you are going to give them that great sacrament of peace, that means of reconciliation of man, the sinner, with God. In that sacrament of penance, we find peace. And so you said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained, giving them that sacrament of penance of reconciliation. When we are reconciled with you in the sacrament of penance, we regain that peace that we have lost. And Lord, we thank you for giving us this great sacrament of peace. And you had said when you gave them the sacrament, receive the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, then we find peace. And we open St. Paul to the Galatians, where he contrasts living according to the flesh and living according to the Spirit. And we all experience that tension, that war, in a sense, between the tugs of the flesh, of the passions, and the upward tug of God to live in love, in peace, to live according to the Holy Spirit. We read, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain. And Lord, before we read them, we can remember, if we live according to our lower passions, pulling us down, then we find the works of the flesh. And now St. Paul writes, the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. All of these signs of lack of peace, of hostility, enmity between one person and another. And St. Paul continues, I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And now, the other way of living, following the Spirit, to do what God wants, not what our flesh is pulling us to do. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And Lord, this is the way we want to live, following the Spirit. Then we find peace and love and joy and patience, and we are reconciled with ourselves, with God, and with one another. Then we can be sowers of peace and joy in the world. And as we mentioned when we were commenting on that prophecy of Isaiah, there will be peace when there is justice. And when we look at that in terms of relationship with God, justice with God is holiness. Justice is to give to each one his due. We give to God his due, our whole heart, our soul, our will, our actions, doing what God is asking of us, not what we feel like doing. And then when there is justice amongst peoples, individuals, firms, countries, justice, when rights are respected, then there can be peace. And again, we go back to Isaiah now in the 32nd chapter. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. and the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. The effect of righteousness, of justice, of holiness, will be peace. And that is summarized in the Second Vatican Council in Latin, Opus Justitiae Pax. Peace, the fruit or the work of justice. And Lord, help us to foster justice too. Justice with you. Justice with those around us, so that we can foster peace. Remembering, too, that peace is not just the absence of war. There could be a tension in the world. There is no active war, but there is tension because rights are not being respected. There is a buildup of often nuclear weapons. People do not live in peace. They live in fear. For the moment, there is no war. But only when there is justice, when rights are respected, can there be true peace. And Lord, you urge us to foster peace in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed those who foster peace, and Lord, help us to be amongst those who foster it. But we begin, as always, within our own soul, within our own heart, within our own relationship with you. And St. John Paul II, in his message for a commemorative concert on the 50th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, 1995, said, "It is in human hearts that war or reconciliation begins. A peaceful future is built on the basis of a new heart, a heart able to recognize in every individual person a brother or sister, with equal dignity to respect, with fundamental rights to promote, with legitimate expectations to satisfy. The new heart looks at others, persons or peoples, as a living reality to be accepted, supported, and loved." But as he says, a peaceful future is built on the basis of a new heart. There it begins. And when our heart is in you, when our heart is in love with you, we find it easier to love others and to see in each individual, each people around us, a brother or a sister with equal dignity to respect. Grant us that peace in our own heart, a peace that we find when we spend time with you, listening to you. What are you asking of me now? What are you asking of me today? To do your will. Then we are united with you. And you say, if you love me, keep my commandments. When we do your will, we are keeping your commandments. We are showing you that we love you. Then you fill our heart. And then that love can expand and overflow into those around us. Help us to spend time with you in prayer every day, sometime, growing in love, listening to you so that we can do your will. So that no matter what happens in our life, we are not anxious. We are trusting in you. And Lord, you are our friend. You are our Redeemer. You are our God, but our friend. You are there for us. You are the way to the Father. And you have revealed God as Father. He looks after us as good fathers do. in his loving providence, he allows us to suffer sometimes. And Lord, you said that, those I love, I chastise. And if we wonder why a good father would want to chastise his son, all fathers do. They reprimand, they discipline their children because they love them. And Lord, you yourself are the beloved Son of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You heard in your baptism, the Father loves you more than anyone, and he allowed you to suffer on the cross. Yes, suffering can reveal God's love. And Lord, help us when we find the cross to trust more in you and to have that peace in our soul, knowing that our loving Father God is allowing this and will bring it to a good end. And those words of St. Peter in his first letter, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he is looking after you. As if to say, trust in God. Don't worry. Yes, you are anxious now about this or that, but don't worry. I am with you, says God. Lord, you say, come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. I will give you rest. But help us to do that. If we get anxious and troubled, it is because we are forgetting you, that you are with us, inviting us to come to you and to trust in you and know that you have a purpose in this suffering that we are going through. And let us read too some beautiful words of St. Gregory of Nyssa. It's in a treatise on Christian perfection. He is our peace who has made both one. Since Christ is our peace, we shall be living up to the name of Christian if we let Christ be seen in our lives by letting peace reign in our hearts. And Lord, help us to have you reign with peace in our hearts, that we can reflect your love and your peace to others, that people can see us as a peaceful person. St. Gregory goes on, he has brought hostility to an end, as the apostle said. Therefore, we must not allow it to come back to life in us in any way at all, but must proclaim clearly that it is dead indeed. Hostility is dead. No more enmity with anyone. God has destroyed it in a wonderful way for our salvation. We must not then allow ourselves to give way to anger or bear grudges, for this would endanger our souls. We must not stir up the very thing that is well and truly dead, calling it back to life by our wickedness. And Lord, we do sometimes give way to anger or bear grudges, but help us to banish them when we are more in love with you. You are in love with us always. Then we are filled with love, and there will be less anger. We go on with St. Gregory. But as we bear the name of Christ, who is peace, we too must put an end to all hostility, so that we may profess in our lives what we believe to be true of him. Profess that truth of Christ, who is peace. He broke down the dividing wall and brought the two sides together in himself, thus making peace. And some of the fathers of the church, commenting, Lord, on your death on the cross, where you reconciled us, comment on the two members of the cross. The vertical member unites mankind with God. You redeemed us, reunited us with God through your death on the cross. and the horizontal member of the cross unites Jews and Gentiles, all peoples who might be at loggerheads with one another. Let us come back to the cross and bring peace into the world too. And then St. Gregory continues, we too then should not only be reconciled with those who attack us from without, we should also bring together the warring factions within us, so that the flesh may no longer be opposed to the spirit, and the spirit to the flesh, as if referring to those words of Galatians, that war within us between the flesh and the spirit, that we give in to the spirit and not to the flesh. Then, when the mind that is set on the flesh is subject to the divine law, we may be refashioned into one new creature, into a man of peace. Then, when the mind that is set on the flesh is subject to the divine law, we may be refashioned into one new creature, into a man of peace. When the two have been made one, we shall then have peace within ourselves. And Lord, grant us that peace, and we find it in you, in our relationship with you, in serving you and not our flesh. And then with peace in our own soul, we can bring peace to those around us and all of those around us. And of course, as always, beginning in the family. First of all, that we be people of peace ourselves, that the other members of our family see us as a peaceful, kind person, someone who loves them, someone who is not unduly worried, who is not unduly angry, to be a person of peace so that we can radiate peace in our family. And then our family will be that oasis of peace too. And each one, as they go to their workplace, to their place of study, wherever they are, they will bring the peace that they first found in the family. And then peace in our workplace, wherever we are, wherever each one of us is. And so often, as we have said, we find a lack of peace there, maybe just between two persons who can't get along. But we be peacemakers. Help us to do that, that we can try to reconcile those two or those two different groups, whoever they may be. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. And Lord, we pray too for peace in the world when there's such a lack of peace and so many people suffering as a result. We pray for peace and we go to Our Lady, Queen of Peace, and some words of Saint Josemaria in his book, Furrow, in the chapter on peace. Holy Mary is the Queen of Peace, and thus the Church invokes her. So when your soul or your family are troubled, or things go wrong at work, in society, or between nations, cry out to her without ceasing. Call to her by that title, Regina Pacis, Ora pro nobis, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Have you at least tried it when you have lost your calm? You will be surprised at its immediate effect. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.